Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 2. Next couple of weeks, we'll take a break from our Choices series. I thank you for praying for me for my procedure on Friday. It went very well, actually. It actually went better than the first time. The doctor came in before he did the procedure, and he told me that the sample they took last time had no cancer in it. That's praise the Lord. That encouraged me. And he said he thinks it is cancer. So he said he wanted to go back in just to make sure that he didn't miss anything. But when he came back after the procedure was done, he told me that the spot on my pancreas was actually smaller than it was in the CAT scan. And he said he had a very hard time getting two samples out of it. So he said the spot is right on top of the main artery in your pancreas. So he said he didn't want to puncture that, and I thanked him very much for that. And he said that they'll send it out and see. So continue to pray. I appreciate that. You know, my life is in God's hands, and I know that. I'm not overly excited, but I'm encouraged. I really am. It's all in God's hands. So, Luke chapter 2. Let me just take a moment. I want to explain first, before I go into this sermon, that I love Christmas. I really do. It's one of my favorite times of year. And I love it for a lot of reasons. It's a time we get together with family. I know this year might be a little bummer on that, but it's a time we can get together with family. It's usually some of our family that we have not seen in a long time. Having a big dinner, followed by, you think I'm going to say football, don't you? Apple pie. Followed by apple pie. Making memories. Singing Christmas songs. Decorating a tree. Giving gifts. For me, Christmas is a special time of year. But unfortunately, I wonder if that rather than Christmas drawing people closer to the Lord, there's a very real sense in which people are drawn away from the Lord Jesus in the midst of the celebration. I believe their eyes are turned to parties and gifts, and many times there's a failure in things of the Lord, like we neglect our Bible time, our prayer time, and sometimes we slack off in our church attendance. It seems like in the very midst of the celebration, we lose the Lord Jesus. Now, we don't find any record of the early church celebrating Christmas as such. But the Bible does tell us of that the wise men came and paid homage to the child. The shepherds came and worshiped him. But the church did not worship him as such. I want you to understand that. I think the closest thing to what we call Christmas for them is the Passover. I don't mean that the Passover and Christmas are alike. I understand that. But I mean in the early church, they had a celebration, and it was Passover. It was a religious ceremony. It was a time of gift-giving. It was a time of feasting. It was a time when people got together. It was a time of joy. It was a time of worship. It was a time of hospitality. Back then, it was a big thing. In Bible times, Passover was to those people what Christmas is to us, so far as celebration. I want to make that clear. And a very interesting thing happens here in the book of Luke. Right after, it's really quiet in here. A very interesting thing happens here in Luke. Right after the Christmas story, right after the events that took place around his birth, the Bible tells of Jesus, who being 12 years of age, went with his parents to the Passover. When the celebration was done, His parents went back home and had gone an entire day's journey and realized that Jesus wasn't with them. They had lost Jesus in the midst of this Passover celebration. So I thought about that. I wonder if the same thing happens that might happen to us. So we're going to answer five questions this morning. And I want you to get these, not just in your head. I don't want you to listen to me. I want you to let it seep into your heart and let God work in your life this morning. Let's read a few verses here in Luke chapter 2. I'd like to begin with verse 41, and I'll read down through verse 50. Still have a little bit of a sore throat today. That hole that they put in your mouth, that classic gizmo, was an inch wide. So I wonder how big that thing is they shove down your throat. I'm glad I'm asleep. Let's read this passage together. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I was about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Now, let me ask you the first question. In what sense may we lose Jesus? Interesting question, eh? Let me just say, well, Mary and Joseph were related to Jesus. Joseph was his foster father, and Mary was his literal, actual mother. Now, how did they lose Jesus? They did not lose Jesus in relationship, in the sense of relationship. Mary was still his mother. Joseph was still his earthly father. So it was not in the sense of relationship they lost Jesus. It was in the sense of fellowship that they lost the Lord Jesus. Let me explain that. It might be a little confusing to you. If you're saved this morning, born again, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. I hope each one of you does this morning. You can never lose that relationship with Jesus. Let me give you a couple verses on that if you're not sure about that. John 10, if you want to turn there, John 10, I'm going to read 27 through 29. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." There are people that have the idea that the devil can take you out of the hand of God. You know what? That's ridiculous. It is. Can you think of a power that is strong enough to open the mighty hand of Jesus and take one of his children out? There isn't. You cannot lose the Lord Jesus. You cannot. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You cannot lose the Lord Jesus Christ in the sense of relationship. Another great verse related to that is in the Old Testament, Psalms 37, verse 23 and 24. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." Verse 24 says, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his right hand." So we see here that there can be a loss of fellowship, but not a loss of relationship. In this passage, Luke chapter 2, Mary and Joseph said in verse 48, "We have sought you anxiously." We have sought you anxiously. The King James Version says sorrowfully. I like that better, sorrowfully. Their hearts were filled with sorrow. May I tell you that if you are out of fellowship with the Lord, I'm pretty sure that you have no joy. You might have happiness. You may have fun, but you won't have joy. And I've often said this. I've said this many times. I believe this with my whole heart. The most miserable person in the world is not an unsaved person. I believe the most miserable person in the world is a saved person out of fellowship with Jesus. Mary and Joseph said, "Look, we have sought thee anxiously." You want to know whether or not Christ is lost in your heart or in your life if you're out of fellowship with him? Not in the sense of relationship, but in the sense of fellowship. Take the joy test. Is there joy in your heart right now? 1 Peter 1:8 says, "Joy unspeakable and full of glory." I know some of you are rolling your eyes. I can't see you sticking your tongue out at me. But you may be saying, "Well, Pastor, nobody's supposed to be joyful all the time." I disagree. Do you even remember the sermon we had on 11:22? Joy is a choice. It's a choice that we make. The Bible says in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." And the only way we can rejoice always is to rejoice in the Lord. He never changes. And so in that sense, we may lose the Lord Jesus, not in the sense of relationship, but in the sense of fellowship. Because Mary was still his mother, Joseph still his foster father, but there was not a connectivity, no fellowship. Jesus was not in their midst. So the second question I ask you, who may lose Jesus? Who may lose Jesus? Well, it may surprise us to see that it was Mary and Joseph that lost him. Look at verse 43. The Bible says, "When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it." Those many times that we least expect to lose the Lord Jesus, if you'll study the Bible, you'll find out that God's choicest saints got out of fellowship with the Lord. Actually, from time to time. As I think about that, I think of Noah. I think of David, Moses, Samson, Peter. All of these and others in the Bible got out of fellowship with the Lord. The Bible says that let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's a great verse and you should memorize it. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Oswald Chambers said this, "An unguarded strength is a double weakness." I like that. And that's good advice. You should listen to that. An unguarded strength is a double weakness. Do you know what? I think sometimes our greatest failure is when we think we've got it and we're all there and nothing can take us down. Be careful, because that's when we fall. Let me ask you, do you think you're beyond getting away from God? Do you think you're so good that you're beyond that? Mary and Joseph did. The great saints of the Bible have at one time or another gotten away from the Lord. Don't you know that no matter who you are, you've never come to the place where you're not in danger of slipping away from the Lord? Would somebody cough or something? Good, you're alive still. That's great. So question number three, where did they lose the Lord Jesus? Where did they lose him? Well, if you'll look with me at verse 41, It says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. They lost him in the midst of a religious ceremony. They lost him in a spiritual celebration. They did not lose him in some den of iniquity. It was in the midst of a religious ceremony that they lost the Lord Jesus Christ. As I thought about that, could it be this Christmas that rather than you getting closer to Jesus, come New Year, you will have to repent and come back to the Lord because you've gotten away from him? As a matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, I'd like you to turn there, Revelation chapter 3, the church at Laodicea, we find our Lord's objection with them. He said in verse 17, because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And then he ends that passage of scripture to the church of Laodicea saying in verse 20, and you know, we use this verse in an evangelistic text, but it's more than an evangelistic text. It means more than that. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens a door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Though this verse has been used in countless tracts and in evangelistic messages to depict Christ knocking at the door of your heart, it's broader than that. It really is, as I studied that. The door, think about this. The door on which Christ is knocking is not the door of to a single human heart. Where is the Lord knocking? Christ was outside this apostate church and wanted to come in. He was knocking on the door of the church at Laodicea. Something that could only happen if the people opened the door. We say, two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. But sometimes I'm afraid we've so forgotten his name that he is on the outside, knocking, trying to get in. Will Christmas take you from Jesus this year? It could, if you let it. The very Passover celebration was that which separated Mary and Joseph from Jesus. That should be a lesson to us. What a warning that ought to be to us. They lost him in the midst of a celebration, a religious celebration. Now, I got a kind of a weird story to read you, but listen with me. It spoke to me. I heard a story about a man who had a princess that he loved very much. He was a prince. He was very, very wealthy. His beautiful princess died, and he was heartbroken. He determined that he would build for the princess the most glorious shrine, a burial place that had ever been built. It would make the Taj Mahal look pitiful in comparison. So he got the architects of the kingdom. He drew the plans for his beautiful shrine. It was to be magnificent because of the great love that he had for her. No plan was quite good enough as he studied all the plans until finally he thought he'd come to perfection. There was no amount of money that he would not spend. And so every day he would come to watch the building that was being built for his princess. And the spires would go up and the marble would gleam and the gold overlay would flash in the sun. And as it was coming together, it was more and more beautiful. He would watch it. He was obsessed with it. It had to be perfect. It had to be just right. It was nearing completion, and he was up on one of the high spires there in that palace, and he looked down, and it was perfect, except for one thing. There was something there that just didn't seem to fit. It seemed a little out of place. It seemed to mar the whole thing. He called the workman and said, look, you see that down there? It just somehow doesn't fit. Take that out, and it will be perfect. And the workmen went down and removed the tomb of the princess. Interesting. I thought about that story many times, and I thought, you know, how we have this elaborate Christmas, it's supposed to be all about Jesus, and we say, he's kind of messing it up a little bit. Jesus is kind of cramping our style a little bit this Christmas time. I wonder if we've done that. I wonder if somehow we have let the very celebration of Christmas take us from the Christ of Christmas. Fourth question. How may we lose Jesus? How did they do it? Well, look, if you will, at verse 44. It says, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. Verse 44. Supposing him to have been in the company. How did they lose him? By presumption. They just assumed he was with them. And they didn't check. They didn't check up. Now, they didn't lose him by opposing him or denying him. They went a day's journey. They went one step at a time. And every step they took, they were getting farther from him, presuming the whole time he was with them. As I thought about that, I wonder if that's true about us. I had to ask myself this question before I preached this message. Ron, are you just assuming that you're right with God? Are we sitting here this morning assuming that we're right with God? Are you just assuming that Jesus is the reality in your life? That's easy to assume. I mean, I can preach, we can sing, we can be a deacon, we can come to church, we can teach classes, we can sing, and we go day to day, and we say, I'm fine, I'm good. But I read in the Old Testament about Samson. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord departed from Samson, and he never knew it. He never knew it. Judges 16:20, if you're taking notes. Mary and Joseph went a day's journey, a step at a time, just simply assuming that Jesus was with them. I've wondered, and I've asked myself this question. Are we willing to look into our own hearts and see in the presence of Jesus a reality, or are we just merely assuming that we're right with the Lord? Neglect is often the way to get away from Jesus, and that neglect is often based on assumption. It is often the cause of backsliding. I mentioned the church at Laodicea a while back. That church said to itself, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Revelation 3:17. Do you know what the danger for us today is? The danger is that I could be here this morning assuming that Jesus is real in my heart, that I have fellowship with him. You know, the Bible says that the Bible says when your eye is single, your body is full of light, Matthew 6:22. Have you ever come to that place where your eye is single? Maybe you don't know what that means. It means when your eye is single, you have no side issues. You have no side issues but Jesus Christ. You have nothing that you've withheld from him. There's no unconfessed sin. There is no love that is greater than your love for the Lord Jesus. And that is not an easy place to come to. It's really not. You can't do it without the Lord's help. May I suggest to you that we take a spiritual inventory, that we don't just go one step at a time, every step farther from him, assuming he is with us. It's an easy thing to do. We may lose him by assumption. So now here's the last question. How can I find Jesus again? Well, look at verse 45 and 46, if you would, please. It says, so when they did not find him, they returned to him, seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Where did they find him? Right where they left him. They found him by going back to where they first lost him. If Jesus Christ is not real to you, and he once was real to you, if you do not have that conscious awareness of his presence, just go back to where you left him. You say, well, I don't know where that was. That was me one day. But you know what? I found that if you will pray this prayer in Psalms 139, 23, and 24, God will answer your prayer. Turn there if you would, please. Psalms 139, 23, and 24. You should memorize these verses. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know that my thought, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Do you know if you've gotten away from the Lord? Maybe you've just been neglecting your quiet time. Maybe you've loved the newspaper and television more than you've loved the Bible. Maybe you've stopped attending the worship services like you used to. Maybe you've got some bitterness, some grudge in your heart. Maybe there's some inordinate affection, or maybe it's just carelessness on our part, going on day after day without turning your heart to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Where will you find Jesus? Right where you left him. And you can't ignore that. You know what? You have to confess sin. You know where you left him. You know where you got away from God. How are you going to get back to him? Just go right back to where you left him, wherever it was. If you're not sure, ask God. He'll show you. I know he will. He showed me. Until you do, you cannot have the fellowship that you should with the Lord Jesus Christ. How tragic it will be this Christmas if you let the very celebration of his birth draw you away from him. And you may not even be conscious of it, just going one step at a time, farther and farther away. Today, let me ask you, would you take a spiritual inventory of your life? Is Jesus Christ real to you? I'm not asking, are you saved? That's relationship. I'm talking about fellowship. Are you just assuming some things this morning? I'm going to ask you another way. Was there a time when you loved him better than you love him now? Was there ever a time when you loved him more than you do now? If that's true, if you're saying yes in your head, you're backslidden. You're not where you should be. Theodore Epp said this, and I like this. Backsliding starts in such a subtle way that most of us are not aware of it. And many of us may be backslidden and may not even realize it. So we need to say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. This Christmas season, would you turn back to the Lord? Would you put Christ back in Christmas? I hope that's your desire today. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time together. I thank you for this time of year, Lord. I love this time of year. But I pray that it won't replace you. And I pray, Lord, if there's one that's backslidden, they know that they have not done what you've wanted them to do, Lord. I pray that they would turn back to you, Lord. And I pray that you get their hearts right with you so they can celebrate and have joy in Christmas. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.